Welcome to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the books that we're using, From Slavery to Freedom by John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by William A. Banks, from our website at historybabc.com. Now, here's your host, national best-selling author and president of Gospel Light Society International, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 63 of the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. My name is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. Since it is rather difficult to separate Black American history and Black church history, I am combining the two because they are so intertwined. As many of you know, the church and religion has played and continues to play a big role in the Black community. Yet many of us who grew up in the traditional Black church do not have an understanding of how our faith evolved under the duress of slavery, discrimination, and Jim Crow to be and to represent what it does today. The purpose of this podcast is to provide that background knowledge and information while also pointing out the dividing line between what is just a tradition and true faith in Jesus Christ. Our scripture passage for today is Mark 2:17, which reads, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Our History of Black Americans and the Black Church quote for today is from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He said, "The church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state." In this podcast, we are using as our texts From Slavery to Freedom by Dr. John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by Dr. E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by William A. Banks. Our first topic for today is titled Slavery in Mainland Latin America, Part 7, from the book From Slavery to Freedom by Dr. John Hope Franklin. There were three distinct groups of slaves in colonial Brazil. Urban slaves worked as servants in the town homes of planters, in shops, at the docks, and in numerous other capacities. On the whole, their lot was not difficult. Some were especially skilled in arts and crafts, and performed invaluable services in helping to improve living conditions in urban areas. Others were kept in homes to render personal service. If there was insufficient work, owners sent their slaves out to find work. These freelancers, Negroes de Ganho, often stood on street corners ready to assist the shoppers with their packages, or went from house to house offering their services to people who did not have servants. Many were able to earn fairly good wages because of their special skills and their ability to read and write. With the opportunity to hire out their own services, some slaves not only made money from their masters, but also eventually with the opportunity to hire out their own services, some slaves not only made money for their masters, rather, but also eventually earned enough to purchase their own freedom. With the discovery of gold in the 17th century, large numbers of slaves were employed in the mines. The simultaneous decline in the sugar economy caused many planters either to sell or hire out their slaves to prospectors and mine owners. Black Brazilians began migrating into the interior near Goiás, Corumbá, and the plateau of Mato Grosso. Some were not employed in the mines, but demonstrated their aptitudes and abilities, in other ways, as iron workers, shoemakers, and even architects and sculptors. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode. Our second topic for today is Negro Religion in the City, Part 12. Religion in the Storefront Church, Part 4. From the Negro Church in America by Dr. E. Franklin Frazier. In the cities of the North, and even in the cities in the South, these storefront churches are constantly being organized by all kinds of so-called preachers in order to attract lower-class Negroes. My dad, Bishop Daniel White Jr., used to call them jackleg preachers. During the 1920s, when Southern Negroes were flocking to Harlem and New York City, it was found that only 54 out of 140 churches in Harlem were housed in regular church structures. The remainder were of the storefront type, which had been organized by preachers, many of whom were exploiters and charlatans. They based their appeal on the Negro's desire to find salvation in the next world and to escape from sickness and the insecurities of this world. One of these churches advertised, "We believe that all manner of disease can be cured. Jesus is the doctor. Services on Sunday." Services on Sunday. And so, dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode. Our third and final topic for today is from the Black Church in the U.S. is Origin, Growth, Contributions, and Outlook by Dr. William Banks. Today, we are looking at part 6 of chapter 5, Radicalism, 1915 through 1963. Today, rather, we are looking at part 6 of chapter 5, Radicalism, 1915 to 1953, the storefront church. With secularization came the storefront church. Certain psychological, social, and economic reasons created more black churches, proportionately, than white. Overchurching seems to have political origins, although many men claim definite leading of the Holy Spirit to organize such assemblies. A storefront church is generally a church conducted in an unrented or abandoned store. Sometimes it is a house front church. This is a home or private residence converted into a church, often to the dismay of the second floor occupants or the adjoining homeowners. While the majority of storefront churches were Baptists, many were cults or sects or apostolic holiness or Pentecostal groups. Few were affiliated with the Methodists. These churches existed because the Southern migrant attempted to reestablish a little bit of home and desired to cling to the traditional way of worship and type of preaching. The impersonal big cities had lost their sense of peopleness. Members were just envelope numbers or dues payers. Storefronts offered identification, belonging, acceptance, and recognition, all lacking in large depersonalized congregations. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for what you have done here today. Thank you for what you're doing and what you will do. And thank you, Lord, for how things are changing slowly but surely, for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, in closing, allow me to say that, like so many of you, I grew up in a very religious and church-going family. And during that time, I often heard the phrase, being saved. Now, much of what the church people whom I grew up around said being saved was, I now know, is wrong according to the Bible. For example, joining the church, being baptized, doing good things, good works, or being a good person or trying to be one, does not mean you are saved and will not get you saved. I wrote an article about this matter titled On Being Saved in Black America some years ago, which is available for you to read free of charge on our website, GospelLightSociety.com. Right now, I want to share with you very briefly what the Bible says being saved really is.
Thank you for listening to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the books that we are using. From Slavery to Freedom by John Hope Franklin, The Negro Church in America by E. Franklin Frazier, and The Black Church in the U.S. by William A. Banks, from our website at historybabc.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the History of Black Americans and the Black Church podcast on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcasts, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. God bless.